very happy to be with you today. Sheldon and I came up from Calgary. We were at our niece's wedding down there yesterday and had a really good time catching up with family. It's the first time in 4 years that my siblings and I were together, so we got some photos taken. The last time was at my dad's funeral 4 years ago, so it's nice to have our photos taken at a happy time. So anyway, it's our pleasure to be with you today, and I just have a few thoughts that I'd like to share with you. Was kind of surprising to me during the wedding ceremony yesterday that the scripture portion that was read for the wedding was the same one that was read for this morning. So that was kind of a confirmation to me, but we're just happy the way the Lord works things out, like the beginning of Romans last week and Romans 12, that is. A few weeks ago, my sister called me in Quebec, and she works as a paralegal at a law firm in Edmonton, and she said, you know, we have a client, and something happened in Quebec, and we can't get through to the Crown Prosecutor. We don't know what the system is there. It seems totally different. I'm lost on the website, so one of my gifts is researching. So tickety-tick, and about 20 seconds later, I had her on the right track, and she told me yesterday everything worked out fine, that they got the right office, and she says, you know, things are just so different in Quebec. And then I attend a pastor's prayer meeting every week where I get together with, usually we're only about a dozen pastors. And, you know, in the glory days, we were about 20, but people are so busy in the city, you know, so they don't come every week. One fella brought a visitor with him. The visitor was the development officer for their church denomination in Canada. And so we always like to know what's going on in the rest of Canada. That's what we talk about in Quebec. What's the rest of Canada? And don't worry about it. For them, for Quebecers, the Westerners are the people in Ontario. So everybody loves you Westerners. We love the Rockies. We love Alberta. Anyway, so we said to this fella who was visiting, well, you know, what have you seen in Canada as far as church development goes? And how does that compare to what's going on in Quebec? He said, well, in Quebec, we have more bivocational pastors than anywhere else in Canada, meaning that the pastor has to work to support himself. He says, we have more churches that are just in little storefronts or little small buildings because they can't get a permit from the city to have a church congregation. And he says that the other thing is that generally the population as a whole is not interested in religious things because you as a post-Christian culture are way more advanced than the rest of us. He says, you know, things are just different in Quebec. Well, that's kind of the way it goes. Things are different in Quebec. But change happens to all of us, doesn't it? My grandkids say to me, Grandpa, you text so slow. You know, well, because I'm correcting my mistakes. And other things will happen. I went into a McDonald's in Toronto. You don't order to a person anymore. There's a giant tablet as you walk in the restaurant and you make your order yourself on this giant tablet. So, and, you know, we were caught a WestJet flight out here. They said, there's no more TV screens. You just load the WestJet Connect app. And you need operating system 8 for that to work. My iPhone 5 that I got as a hand-me-down from my son doesn't do operating system 8. So, nothing to watch on the plane. Sad, eh? And on the cultural level, too, there's a lot of changes. I don't know about your area. We in Quebec receives about 50,000 immigrants every year. And most of those come to the Montreal area. So if you think of Quebec as being somewhere close to 9 million people, half of them live in the greater Montreal area. And probably 80 to 90% of all immigrants who come congregate in that area as well. So we have huge cultural, ethnic areas because people are looking for support, and so they congregate together. We've just moved to RDP, Rivière des Prairies, and it's probably 80% of the people on our streets are black. They're from Africa or Haiti. There's been, you know, and you go to other areas, and everybody you see, the women will be wearing a hijab and the men a long robe. You know, this is how it is there. And all these cultures get together, are able to get along on the commerce level, on business level, and it's really good. But, you know, you have to make a few concessions. And so things change, and we have to adapt to them. But for the most part, a lot of churches don't like change. Churches resist change, and especially for these ethnic churches, when they come from whatever country, and maybe it was the same for our forefathers. My grandfather came in 1906 from Hungary. Maybe it was like that for them too. Their home culture, in their mind, it's frozen in time. It's the way it was when he left there in 1905. And yet, if you went back to Hungary now, things have changed. The culture has changed. And my grandfather would probably be surprised if he went back there and saw all the change that happened. Well, these ethnic communities, they'll come as Christians from South America or Haiti or Africa, and their home culture changes. And so you'll see, and they become very inward focused as well. And so you'll see, I'll visit a Haitian church, and everybody will be dressed up like we dressed up for church in the 60s, you know, and women wearing big hats, and it's all about pomp. And they're not interested in inviting anybody in the neighborhood to come. They're interested in meeting their own needs, because that's what they want to have. And so my role as the only SIN missionary in Montreal is to come alongside church leaders. You can tell I'm not one of those, you know, cool pastors who... Sheldina lent me this iPad so that I could put my notes in it. You know, I have to use notes. You know, I'm not like one of those guys who can get up there and just speak and everything. So my role is more to come alongside with resources, and you'll see that I'm going to give you a bunch of lists today. If you want any of those lists, those are the kind of resources that I provide for church leaders in Quebec. And if you give me your email address or ask me for my card, I'll give you one, and we can be in touch. And I'll be happy to resource you in whatever ministry you have. Did you notice in the scripture reading it this morning, it said, we all have gifts. We all have different gifts. So you need to know what your gift is. That's one of my questions for you. Do you know what your gift is? So just before I go any further, I have a couple skill testing questions with a little prize for you if you get it right. Okay? First question, what's the name of the organization that I work for? Who was first? Okay, who? Dwight again? No, this gentleman there? Okay. Sheldina has a little SIM travel mug for you. Okay. Oh. Yes. It originally started over 100 years ago by four young guys in their 20s, one of whom was Canadian, and they went to the Sudan, which was the whole central part of Africa. They actually landed in what's now Nigeria. And I believe three or four of the four died because they got tropical illnesses. But they started, you know, a legacy that's continued on. SIM now stands for Serving in Mission, in French, Servir en Mission. And yeah, that's what it's about. Okay, so we all have gifts. Okay, I want a hand this time so that we can. Who has the gift of evangelism in this congregation? Gentleman here gets the book about telling the story by using stories. So, SIM gave me two of them. I can only read one at a time, so you get my extra one. Does God change? We're talking about cultures changing, that we need to change to adapt, but does God change? Well, I think he does. I knew I might surprise some of you when I said that, but he doesn't change in his love for us. He doesn't change in his plan, in his eternal nature, qualities, essence, all those theological terms, but he changes in the way that he reveals himself to us. One instance of this would be the very fact that Jesus came and died in order that we might renew or restore that relationship with God that had been lost. So that was a change. It was a new way of approaching God. And the whole sacrificial system was done away with because something new had come. The old is gone, the new has come. And so that's kind of what some of the colleagues that I've developed relationships with in this networking that I do, we try to encourage churches to look at their culture, decide what's appropriate, and then try to reach out with the love of Jesus to those people. And we've done that by creating the table de concertation. A table de concertation is a round table. So we're inviting, by using those words, we're inviting them to come and share and share their opinions as well in order to do that. And so I'm on the executive of that. And the one strategy that we're using at this time, I don't know if you know that Quebec is a place of party time. Montreal, I don't know. Probably we have 200 different festivals. I don't know. We have the Jazz Festival, of course. We have Hot Air Balloon Festival. There's a beer festival. There's the international fireworks and so on and so forth. At the beginning of June every year, there's another festival. Well, it's called Fête, party, celebration of neighbors, Fête des Voisins. And so we're encouraging churches during that week, which is the Fête des Voisins, that the church does something in their neighborhood. So could be an open house. Just invite people in, have a coffee. Let them see that you're humans, that you're not a bunch of weirdos, because people are fearful of that. That's one of the barriers to sharing the gospel in Quebec. You know, it was very strongly associated with the Catholic Church in the past. In the 50s, Protestant missionaries were actually thrown in prison. And so, you know, then in the 60s, everybody kicked off all religion, and then the next generation was raised with no religious input at all. So there are a lot of people floating around. They don't have a clue what church is about. My pastor friend, a Quebecois, Yves Allery, says Quebecers don't like the Catholic Church, and they're fearful of anything that isn't. That's the way he put it. And so he, on this committee as well, is trying to help churches develop. So there's all kinds of barriers to presenting the gospel in Quebec, but we think there's also a lot of hope, and we obviously believe that Jesus can provide a solution for people to make their lives full and meaningful. And so that's what we're trying to do, encourage these churches to become missional and to think outside the box. And there's a lot of cool things happening. If you'd like to check this out, and if you forget the website, you can ask me later. There's one... Love Montreal. If you go to love, I think it's .org, lovemontreal.org, it's so funny. They don't come across as being Christian, but it was the brainchild of a evangelical pastor who's planting a church called City Church. And Rosanna, there's a little video, you can click on it, and Rosanna's going on about all the problems that we face in life and so on. And they decided to come up with Love Montreal. So what they're encouraging you to do is do something nice for somebody, take a picture of it, post it to their Instagram site. You know, just something cool. So we had our grandsons over. I'm always trying to teach them things like how to bake buns. So we baked 2 dozen buns and gave a dozen to the Haitian people across the back fence and then to the Portuguese people beside us. And, you know, well, the Portuguese people, they're super neighbors. So meticulous, but super. But ever since then, the Haitian family has been smiling at us and waving at us, you know, and so it's cool. You know, Love Montreal works. There's another one which I thought might be apropos for you. It was done in Drummondville, which is a smaller city, and it's J'aime mon voisin, I love my neighbor. It's kind of like a volunteer job bank website where you can either offer to do something or you can request something. So they've done, and the mayor of the town is all behind it, and they're all gung-ho and cutting people's hedges and washing windows and splitting wood and showing that the church is concerned about the neighborhood. And I think that's a really good thing. So I like this. I think that's the answer. I think you guys are on the right track. And I'm just so happy that you're thinking that way. I do get your emails. If you've signed up for the emails of the church, I hope you have. There's a lot of interesting stuff there that really encourages me being so far away. But that's really what the message is about this morning, that to become dynamic Jesus followers, there are three aspects that we need to look at. The first is spiritual growth. Okay, well, you come to church, we pray, we sing songs of worship to God, we read the Bible, and we learn about God. That's developing spiritual growth. Other ways that it could happen is a home Bible study, or a prayer meeting, or an alpha course, or some other kind of course, where you get a deeper understanding of who God is. One caution, I see a lot of posts and reposts on Facebook of stuff that's supposedly spiritual, but after the seminary training that I've had and years in the pastorate, some of the stuff that it's just made up, folks. So use a bit of discernment. Don't repost it. Check it out, you know. Ask Ben. He'll give you, is this biblical, Ben? It seems a little bit out there, right? If he doesn't know the answer, call me. But we need to do some self-analysis, and we need to understand where we are on that spiritual journey. You know, I turned 60 last fall. Even at 60, we still don't have it all together, folks. There's stuff that still going on and issues that are still being dealt with in my life. So don't worry about it. Just keep plodding along. Take another step with Jesus. Take a deeper plunge. Some people are happy to stay in that shallow end of the pool, but hey, jump in. Yeah, you might be drowning for a while, but somebody will pull you out. Don't worry about it. A few years ago, I attended one of those breakfasts, you know, where they have a breakfast in the restaurant and then somebody gives their testimony. Well, I got invited because it was hosted by the Christian Motorcycle Association there in Quebec. And I was talking to this biker lady. I won't say chick because she was older, but we were talking about church, and she says, oh, yeah, I go to Nouvelle Vie Church. Well, Nouvelle Vie is kind of the big mega church for French-speaking people. I said, wow, Nouvelle Vie. I said, I've been there. It's nothing but
wall-to-wall people. Like, how do you ever develop relationships with people in that big of a church? She says, well, that's why I go there. I don't want to develop relationships. I just go there to be anonymous, you know. Well, a principle is that in a true community, there is no anonymity, and sometimes there's little privacy. So you, the real you, as we take our masks off, we get exposed, and that's developing relationship in community. So we're not always comfortable there, but it's sometimes necessary for us. The other thing that we do, I was telling you about this Fête des Voisins, where we're encouraging churches to do something during that week of I Love My Neighbor. At the end of it, a week later, we, the Christian Roundtable, sponsor a gospel music concert. Okay, so as part of this thing, part of your outreach, you can invite your neighbors to go, hey, next week there's a gospel music concert. Would you like to come to it? We have some tickets for you, you know. Well, another innovation that we do, we put a notice in the local paper. People don't know the gospel, but they like music in Montreal. You know, we have all kinds of music festivals, and they like gospel music. So we put an ad in, hey, have you ever thought of singing in a gospel choir? Come and join us. Come to a practice this day, and then you'll sing with the main choir at this concert. And we call it the Chorale d'un jour, one day choir. And we get people to come. This year, Sheldon was talking to one of the ladies there. She said, you know, well, I'm really an atheist, but I really like hanging out with these people because they have so much joy. So, who knows? But it's one more step in her spiritual journey. You know, we don't have to worry about it. When a new pastor comes to town, I try to introduce myself, and I did so recently to a pastor who came from Hamilton to a downtown Pentecostal church, a woman pastor, and she's so creative. So I signed up for her blog, and I told her about some of the networks that are going on. But here was an idea. So downtown church, like this is a kitty corner to the old forum, if you watched hockey in the old days. So right there, everybody commutes to that church. It's a pretty big church. I think about 500 people attend. And they come for Sunday morning, and that's it. I don't know if that's a struggle for you. How do we develop community when we only see each other for 2 hours on Sunday morning? But I thought this was a creative idea that I'm going to pass on to you. So this is what her blog said. We're planning an experiment this fall. If it doesn't work, that's okay, but it's fun to try. Here's the plan. Instead of Friday night gathering place, we're making a shift. For many of you, Friday nights just don't work. For many of you, Sunday is about all you can handle, especially since you don't live near Evangel. So you want to connect, but you can't. The experiment's for you. It's on Sundays. Starting the week after Thanksgiving, we're launching Out Church On Point. After the second service, bring or buy your lunch and hang out with all of us for an hour. Then split into four discussion groups in four streams. Choose your stream. Learn to lead for those wanting to develop leadership skills in any area of life. Two, more questions than answers for those new or unsure about Christianity but think it's maybe worth exploring. The third stream is straight up scripture, so a Bible study or sermon discussion. And the fourth one is practical principles on topics like marriage, parenting, finances, or whatever. She says, or just chill and chat in the Connect Cafe for an hour. All the groups conclude at 3 p.m. sharp and you're on your way. So I thought, well, that's a good innovation to bring in to try to develop community. So there's another pastor who has the same idea as we on this Christian Roundtable, that people need to build those relationships so that they can be built up. Well, the third aspect of church life is called evangelism, or reaching out, being missional in the neighborhood. And it's all about telling the good news of Jesus to other people. James Chung works with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. You can look him up on YouTube and see him. He gives a five or six minute presentation of how you can draw on a piece of paper or a napkin and share with somebody about the good news. And it's done in a very postmodern mindset, and it's really useful. Do we have that video this morning? So somebody's done a 2-minute adaptation of James Chung's approach that I thought I'd share with you. I thought that was pretty cool. I wish I could. I tried to draw it myself. I can't even do the first circle nicely, but maybe I'll just practice some more. But the other thing is that I've had to learn over the years is not everyone has the gift of evangelism. Yes, we're all called to be a witness of our faith in Jesus, but some people are specially gifted to be able to help people take a real decision. One of the pastors at the prayer meeting that I attend is Joel. He's a Swiss missionary working at the Université de Montréal with InterVarsity. And he's taught us so many cool things. One thing is that somebody has done a study of how students come to faith. I don't know if you remember if you took that Billy Graham evangelism training. They would say that, you know, it takes 10 to 12 clear presentations of the gospel for someone to decide, hey, we don't have to worry about being scientific. We just need to love people, welcome them in, help them on their journey. But what somebody else has determined is that for students, that there are 5 thresholds. So the part at the bottom of the door that you step across, or did you ever carry your bride across the threshold? Anyway, I digress. That there are 5 thresholds that people step across in order to make a decision to become Jesus followers. Now, I don't know who's going to journal and keep track of all their relationships to say, oh yeah, well, Susan's at threshold 2, and you know, I don't know. Maybe that's what an evangelist is gifted to do. I don't know. But if you want to know what those thresholds are, talk to me after and I'll be able to send you the information. So just quickly to sum up, 7 strategies that churches need to develop in order to become more relevant in their community. We need to preach sermons that are on topics that are relevant to our culture. There's huge studies, mostly in the States, about 80% of children who grow up in the church leave the faith. And it's because the churches are not talking about topics that are relevant to young people. We need to identify those gifts that God has placed in the body. Some of them were listed in Romans 12, and I encourage you to read those after and try to determine. And if you can't figure out what your gift is, just talk to your pastors. They have all kinds of ways to help you do that. We need to be able to train ourselves to give an answer for the hope that lies within us by watching James Chung on YouTube and trying to develop a story that we can share with other people. We need to change the mentality. I'm preaching to the choir here. That's what you say when people are already on board. You're already doing this. Some of our churches in Quebec that I work with are not. We need to get involved in our neighborhood. We need to know what people are doing. Instead of going door-to-door, handing out tracts, trying to make people feel guilty that they're sinners, why don't we go out door-to-door and say, we're going to have a prayer meeting at the church this week. Do you have anything that we could pray for you about? People have needs, and they're willing to share those with us. we need to accompany seekers on a spiritual journey. I don't know, God will send people our way. We need to, if you see somebody, funny thing happened at a church in Montreal, that a person came up and said, "Oh, I've never seen you here before, and I just want to welcome you to the church." Well, it just so happened that the guy had been the former pastor of the church, was now there, and he was a bit miffed that he wasn't recognized as having been there for so long. But don't be afraid. If you see somebody that you don't recognize, just go and say, "Hi, my name is this." When you have a name like Kenton and Sheldina, people can't remember it anyway, so you always have to give your name. There are all kinds of discussion group tools out there. And then the last strategy would be to provide a relevant response to a need. And I see you guys doing that here with community gardens and offering your church building for use by other people. So it's amazing. I encourage you just to keep going. Deepen your own personal faith. Broaden your relationships. Try to take some of those masks off. Different compartments of our lives, we keep the mask on. Try to develop true community. Again, Romans 12, read those criteria. And then further your involvement in the mission of God. We're, like that little video was saying, we're called to be agents of change in a broken world. God bless you.